start, I imagine, that withholding of those payments, the double the amount of the amount in dispute.
All right.
Well, if you look under the bond provision, it says the bond should be payable to the public agency in the event the party bringing the suit does not prevail, which is the essentially the same thing as the attorney fee issue. Because the attorney fee goes to the prevailing party, so that if the contractor or the public agency involved is the prevailing party, they get attorney fees, and also the bond is payable to them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's redundant.
True. Madam Chair.
Senator Howe.
The whole reason, as far as is my concern for the bond, is that sometimes in frivolous cases, the person that is making the allocation is not fiscally responsible. And that even though you get the court award, if it's uncollectible, it's uncollectible. You still incur the damage of the defense. The putting up of the bond is a requirement. Guarantees if the court does give you judgment that payment will be made or reimbursement for your expenses will be made, and that's the only purpose for it.
Madam Chairperson, maybe in that event it might be a good idea to eliminate the sentence on attorney fees and put the attorney fees as being payable under the bond along with the other costs.
Well, I think we have to put in the statute, unless we have a statutory provision for the award of attorney's fees, I don't believe. Well, it would be discretionary with the court. I think we want to make it clear in the statute that there is a right to attorney's fees.
Well, then, would it be maybe proper to add to cover the estimated cost to the public agency, including attorney fees of the injunction sought? In other words, so that the bond would cover both the attorney fees and other costs.
Yeah, I guess my own feeling is, though, that you'd, in addition, I think we need language authorizing attorney's fees. I think that adding that, I would not want to delete that language.
No, I think we could just add something to the bond so that the bond would cover both.
Yes.
Because I think Senator Hogg made a good point that...
okay.
I mean the plaintiff's bond would cover the plaintiff's attorney's fees?
If they had to pay them, yes, it would have covered...
No, it would not. If the plaintiff prevailed, the defendant would have to pay the attorney's
fees.
But the plaintiff is not bonded. He may be judgment-proof also.
That's what we're talking about. The plaintiff has to put up the bond.
No, what Senator Brown is talking about is if the plaintiff prevails and gets judgment against the defendant.
That's why it's nice to have the court may award the prevailing plaintiff a reasonable attorney's fees. And that should be left in there. I think maybe the solution is the court may award the prevailing party reasonable attorney's fees and costs. And let it go with that.
Well, I think that's one part of it, and then the other part is I think we need both. I think we need the statement about the prevailing party getting attorney's fees, and I think we need the bond. Because if we don't, it's my opinion that if we don't put language in the statute, it is unclear whether it's a matter of right the prevailing party has attorney's fees. Because, as you know, the rule is unless it's either in a contract or by statute, you don't get attorney's fees. So,
should we ask attorney's fees and costs on line 17?
All right. Senator Brown moves that we add costs at line 17 in addition to attorney's fees.
Right.
Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, that'll be so ordered. Okay, just to move this along, I would like to move conceptually, and then I think that'll be the final thing we'll have to do on this bill for this morning, that we, at line 17, delete the language shall require... And put, we should delete the word the and put the court shall require any party other than the Bureau of Labor bringing the suit to post a bond sufficient to cover the estimated cost, including attorney's fees, to the public agency and, I suppose, a contractor of the injunction sought under this subject. Under this section. Is there any objection to that? Of the committee.
Conceptually.
Maybe a subcontractor, Madam Chair. Can't you just say to them, Dan?
Well, this is going to be conceptual. Mr. Solis is going to be meeting with Cheyenne. If there's some technical problem, we'll have that worked out. Is there any objection?
There was some indication the subcontractors get in there, too. if they're parties.
Well, well, I would like to just have this conceptually, and then Mr. Salas can...
I object to Mr. Kalinowski speaking when the chair asks if any member of the committee objects on a motion.
It's a point well noted. We are in work session. Okay, is there any objection to the amendment? Okay, hearing none, that'll be so ordered. My only concern now is whether we've made it so onerous that no one is ever going to be able to bring one of these lawsuits.
Madam Chair, not a responsible. If it's responsible.
Of course, the bond would be a percentage of the cost. So
right. It'd only be under the provisions now, would only be double the amount of dollars plus...
any expense that would be...
Well, that'd be going back into personnel records or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ask then that
other thing you may want to consider, and it was Mr. Salas's first thing, is on line 9 and 10, and he's right, the public agency does not contract with a subcontractor. If he does, the subcontractor is a contractor.
Okay. So, do you want to move to delete or subcontractor?
Yeah, it's strictly housekeeping.
Okay. Is there any objection to Senator Houck's motion?
And 14.
Let's take line 9 first. Hearing no objection, that will be so ordered. Now, let's see now. I think we want to leave it in line 14 because I think we want to be able to catch that subcontractor that's not paying the prevailing wage rate.
10, 11 maybe then.
Because they are still bound by the main contract with respect to the prevailing wage rate.
Right. You can. The contractor is responsible.
Right, right. But they are responsible for subcontractors committing violations. All right. Now, is there any other issues, policy issues involved? We're going to get this back with the technical language Friday, hopefully that will be in the final form. Is there any other policy issues that anybody wants
to
address?
Madam Chairperson, ask one more question? In the first line of subsection 2, is it supposed to be the agency or any agency?
First line in subsection 2? I don't know.
If a permanent injunction is granted prohibiting, is that supposed to be the agency or any agency?
You talked about changing it to any. Is that one of them?
No, he said a different one. No, you're talking about section 2, line... Are you talking about line 9?
Line 22.
Line 22.
Line 22. Yes, you're correct. We should make that... I would move that the word the be deleted to any, because that's the disbarment language.
All right, then on the next line, could we also delete or subcontractor?
That's an interesting question, because if it was a subcontractor that was violating the prevailing wage rate, would there be ever an instance where they might become a contractor and be bidding directly on...
Then they would be a contractor, not a subcontractor.
Well...
Can a subcontractor happen?
The thing is, what might happen is what might be found is that the subcontractor is the one that's violating the law. In that instance, would the disbarment occur for the contractor or the subcontractor? What is the Bureau policy, Mr. Chair? Do you want to respond to that in terms of your disbarment policy? If you have a contractor where the subcontractor is one that's violating the prevailing wage rate, who gets disbarred?
The subcontractor gets disbarred.
Okay, we'll leave that language in there.
Well, you have a separate contractor list.
No, you Madam Chairperson.
Contractor's responsible.
It says you're talking about prohibiting an agency from contracting with a contractor or subcontractor.
Well, it depends on where you think the language subcontractor is coming from. Yeah. Obviously, at the time that they would be trying to get the main contract, they'd be the contractor. But in this particular lawsuit, they may be the subcontractor for purposes of the... I think we want to make it clear that they can be disbarred in the event they would wish to become a contractor. Right. So,
could we have the license to clean up this language so it's clear?
All right.
I understand what you mean exactly, is that the party who is disbarred is the one that you want to be prohibited from contracting.
Right.
And that language is not that clear.
Okay, why don't you work with Cheyenne and if you feel more comfortable making it clear. I would move that we put at line 22 the word any rather than not. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that'll be so ordered. Okay, does the committee feel comfortable making a due pass on this now? We'll bring it back Friday with the language. And then, in other words, we won't file a report until after the committee's looked at it Friday.
But that's fine.
The only thing is we're all here now, and I'm just concerned that we keep moving.
What is the burning desire of that?
Well, just that this is getting near the session, end of the session. It's a Senate bill. We've got a lot of work on Friday, too. I would like to just have that done today. Then we'll bring it back Friday with the actual language, and it will be done unless someone finds a problem with the actual language. So just kind of to expedite things.
No, let's just do it all then.
Okay. Okay, we'll bring it up Friday with the final language, hopefully. Okay, we're going to open the work session on Senate Bill 650.
Why are these two and three companies?
They were suggested amendments. We worked off and adopted and made changes. Oh, okay. And I get Cheyenne.
Did you ask about Senate
216? Oh, yeah. Cheyenne advised me if we want to get 216 to the desk, we need to have done it about 15 minutes ago, but maybe we can still do it. I wanted to know, did everyone get a chance to review the amendments on that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Does anybody have any objections to it, or can we put that report in?
Fine.
All of you should have gotten the final copy of the amendments. Cheyenne distributed me yesterday on 216.
I guess they are.
Okay, I'm going to take then that no one, if, does anyone have objection? Okay, then we'll have that report filed. Okay, maybe, I'm just wondering, how much is there time going to be involved in this?
I don't know. This summarizes current law, original bill, three sets of amendments that I don't know which the committee will want to consider.
What else have we got? Do you think that some people have hearings on anything?
I think a few people here on each bill. I think this one's going to take some time. Unless the committee just wants to go with
it. Well, I think it's going to take some time, too. Maybe we should...
Madam Chair, how many of those House bills come in?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe we should take some of these House bills.
I was just trying to help you in the calendar for Friday. Otherwise, we're not going to...
Yeah. We've got 2908. I know there's a number of people that have been expressing concern about that, and they want to get that bill out. And I think we have that amendments. We have 2392. I think we have a number of people here to testify on.
Do you want to move on 2908?
Well, yeah, we've got some amendments prepared for that. Let me just. What do you suggest here?
I suggest we not do 650. 2392 is going to be
testimony. Mm-hmm. We've got two people signed up on 2219. We've got two on 2136. I don't see 2292, the sign up sheet here.
2392.
There's nobody signed up to testify.
We've already had a public hearing.
Oh, okay. Is that one, are we going to have a full committee or vote?
Yeah.
Why don't we open the work session on 2908? And Ms. Leonard, do you want to come up? Have you had a chance to look at the amendments that staff have put?
Yeah,
this one. Okay. I think we're going to have to put off 6:50 until Friday. That is going to take more time than we're going to have right now. I'd like to open the work session on 2908. That was a bill that the Employment Division and the Employment Appeals Board had requested. Actually, I guess it was originally the Employment Appeals Board bill, and then the Employment Division had some amendments they had wanted to insert in them that were least troublesome to the chair. Staff, I'd requested that they draft some amendments. The main issue was the provision that the Employment Division had put in, which had really overturned some referees' decisions about what is a decision and had really given them an unlimited statute, no statute of limitation with respect to errors that they may make on payments to people collecting unemployment benefits. And we have some amendments now, which does give some criteria in terms of how long that time period is going to run. Cheyenne is distributing that material to the committee now, and I believe that Ms. Leonard has had an opportunity to review those amendments. And do you have any objection to those amendments?
No.
Madam Chairperson, Libby Leonard, Deputy Administrator for the Employment Division. We have no objections whatsoever.
Okay. Now, I don't see Terry Rogers here. Did she? She at one point said that she had a.
There was an amendment.
They're
already
in. Are they already in the bill or are they in this minute?
They're incorporated legislative council amendments A-3.
All right, and you have no objection to any of those, that portion?
If you're talking about the lines 12, 13 sure. through 17, we have no objection to those amendments either.
Okay. What the amendments do at lines 2 through 11 is that it does allow the department to amend their original decision, but it does require that a notice be given, and it also puts a time limit on that unless there's a fraud case. So in other words, if there's just an honest mistake and the person collects the money, the department has a year to find out about it and correct it unless there's a fraud. And of course, my feeling is that it's inequitable to let the department go for years and all of a sudden inform somebody that 5 or 10 years ago an error was made and now they have to. So this, I think it's...
Motion?
Yes.
I move the amendment.
Senator Hannon moves that the amendments marked HB 2908A3 be amended into the bill. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's so ordered.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd move House Bill 2908 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Hannon moves House Bill 2908 to the floor with the due pass. I just want to check with Sean. Does that take care of all the issues that were raised in this? Yeah.
It's my understanding that that is the case. Perhaps Ms. Leonard confirmed that.
I don't remember any other issues. I think they have all been either clarified or taken care of.
Only other issue that was discussed by the committee was in Section 9 of the bill concerning the Employment Appeals Board and whether or not rules adopted by the board needed to conform to rules. This issue was discussed by the committee. I don't know whether...
What page is that on?
Raised again, the last page of the bill, 5, page 5, lines 28 and 29.
Yeah, I guess my concern, maybe someone from the board can come up here, was that normally I would think they have to at least correspond to the APA rules, but maybe they could.
There is additional testimony.
Could you identify yourself for your record, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Tom O'Connell, Executive Secretary, Employment Appeals Board.
Okay, Cheyenne informed me that I was absent that day and that you did give additional testimony on this point.
Yes, I did.
Maybe could you just briefly summarize that for the purpose of the chair?
The question that you asked regarding the language you just referred to, that such rules need not conform to common law or statutory rules of evidence or other technical rules of procedure, that was what was in question.
Mm-hmm.
The language was taken from an existing statute, ORS 657.280, which at that time granted that authority to the Assistant Director of the Employment Division. The language we're talking about first appeared in the Unemployment Insurance Law in 1937.
Well, has that been the language you've been operating under? Is that
yes,
true?
And all it was a transfer of that language into
okay,
this.
Okay, so this is not a new
no, ma'am,
or a change?
It is not.
Okay. Well, since it maintains the status quo, I guess I'll withdraw my objection, although I find it hard to imagine that a board that is hearing appeals can't operate. I mean, I would assume you have to have some rules of procedure evidence that you operate under.
Well, there are rules of procedure, but this eliminates the exclusionary rules of evidence that you would have in a courtroom situation.
Right, but usually under the APA, you're allowed a more lax standard.
Yes.
But do you operate under the APA?
No, we're exempt from that, but the referees of the Employment Division who conduct these hearings have a rule that is identical to the rule in the APA governing...
And does the board also?
Well, we only review the referee's decision.
So you're not
therefore,
acting as a trial board?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on House Bill 2908?
Move past it.
Okay. Will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Hannon.
Aye.
Senator Houck.
Aye.
Senator Kitzhaber.
Aye.
Senator McCoy.
Aye.
Senator Wyers. Senator Brown.
Aye.
Senator Hendrickson?
Aye. Okay, we're going to move on next to House Bill 2392, which we've already had testimony on. I don't believe there are any amendments proposed to that bill, is there?
No amendments.
This is a bill which would increase the... There was House amendments from the original bill. This amended bill from the House increases the worker compensation payment for scheduled injuries and changes from $100 for each degree to $115 for each degree.
So the bill's ready to go?
Yes.
I'd like to move House Bill 2392.
Senator
to the floor with a due pass.
Okay. Senator McCoy moves House Bill 2392 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? If not, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Hannan?
No.
Senator Houck?
No.
Senator Kitzhaber?
Aye.
Senator McCoy?
Aye.
Senator Wyer? Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Hendrickson?
Aye. Okay. Cheyenne, which are the other ones that are ready to go without amendments?
Without amendments?
Are there any other that require public hearing?
Yes. On the agenda, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 bills that have amendments proposed. There are at least 3 that have not held, upon which we have not held any public hearings. These are 2136, 2988, 2774. The other bills, we have at least held one public hearing.
All right. Are the ones that we had heard previously, do they have amendments, or are they ready to go?
They all have amendments. All the 4 that we've heard previously all have amendments that have been proposed.
Okay, so that's going to take consideration. Some time. Why don't we open the public hearing and take the testimony on these other House bills, and we probably clean them up Friday then, if we don't get through this morning.
That would be 21.
All right, House Bill 2136, Libby Leonard signed up from the Employment Division. Right. This provides that members of the Advisory Council on Unemployment Compensation may designate alternatives to represent them that meetings are unable to attend. And that was the original one, that it was modified in the House to modify the application for unemployment compensation for disqualification of voluntary leaving work in specified circumstances. Okay. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Madam Chairperson, Libby Leonard, Deputy Administrator of the Employment Division. This is not our bill, but Donna Hunter, staffer of our agency, can explain what the bill does for the committee.
Okay.
Donna Hunter, Employment Division. Basically, if you look on page 2, that is where the changes are made in subsection 5 and subsection 6.
Are you talking about the House amendments now?
I'm talking about the House amendments to House Bill 2136.
So page 2 is of that document, right?
The bill was gutted, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not the same bill.
Okay.
What the bill now accomplishes, first in subsection 5, is to state that a person who has told their employer that they will specifically be quitting on a certain date, and that separation, that quit, would be a quit with good cause, for instance, to, let's say, take another job. Then if that person left work early for any reason that would not be good cause, and the leaving early was within 15 days of the planned quit, then we will adjudicate that separation as if the actual early leaving hadn't occurred and the planned quit with good cause had occurred, and we would deny the people for the period of time between the actual quit and the planned quit. After that, they would be able to draw their unemployment insurance. At this period of time, without this law, if a person plans to quit at the end of the month for good cause, and they decide, for whatever personal reason, to leave early, 2 weeks early, a month early, whatever it might be, without good cause, then they have changed that into a quit without good cause, and we would deny them benefits until they earn 4 times their weekly benefit amount.
So this would allow them to leave early if they had to?
Yes.
No.
She said yes.
Yeah, if they wanted to or had to. Now, if they left work early with good cause, this would not come into play. If they had planned to leave at the end of the month with good cause, but something happened, for instance, they were going to leave work at the end of the month to care for an ill relative, and the ill relative got iller, sicker, and they had to leave work earlier than they planned, they would have then changed that into a quit with good cause at an earlier date, and we would even now pay them their unemployment insurance and would continue to. This is when they were going to leave work with good cause, but something happened and they chose to take off for personal reasons. We would determine that's without good cause now, and we would deny them their benefits. Under this law, we would deny them their benefits only for the period of time that they quit early.
So in other words, this helps the person so they're not penalized. This was passed overwhelmingly in the House.
As we stated, this was not our bill, but this is how this is the effect of the language.
How many cases like that do you have?
We were unable on the what we call quit in lieu of the quit under Section 5 to determine how many that would how many people that would affect.
The other question is who makes the determination, the employer, or is that left up to the agency to just make that decision?
Senator McCoy, that would be left up to the agency as it is now to determine whether the quit was with or without good cause, both quits,
okay.
Based upon information supplied by both the employer and the claimant.
Maybe I probably should have called Anita Paulson first because she's a proponent of the bill, and I apologize. Why don't you all just stay up there? Anita, why don't you come up and briefly add anything that you think we need to have here?
Anita Paulson, Oregon Legal Services. Dick Springer asked me to work on this legislation because of a couple fact situations that came up in our offices, and I think it'd be easier to understand if I tell you what those fact situations were. We had a client in Oregon City that was fired not for cause, but she just couldn't handle the job, and the employer said, in 2 weeks you have to go. She was really embarrassed by the whole thing and wanted to leave and look for other employment. She did that with the employer's consent. So when she went in to apply for unemployment benefits, she was denied because she left without good cause. If she would have just stayed for the rest of that two-week period, she would have had, it would have been a good cause quit. The other situation went all the way up to the Court of Appeals in a case called Green versus Employment Division. Green was a sheet metal worker in Klamath Falls, and he quit for a better job. And for personal reasons, he left 2 or 3 days before his fixed termination date. I can't remember what it is. He left Wednesday, and he could have worked till Friday. When he showed up Monday morning for his new job, they said, I'm sorry, we've decided that we don't have any openings. And so he applied for unemployment benefits, and he was denied benefits. The case went to the Court of Appeals, and the first time around, they said that he was disqualified for the period he could have worked and didn't. And then the Court of Appeals reversed itself and disqualified him permanently for benefits. So what these amendments do are take care of the people like the woman from Oregon City and Green in Klamath Falls, people that are leaving for good cause on a certain day, and then sometime in a two-week period before that, they leave for some reason that would not be considered good cause. What it does is make sure that people in this situation are not permanently disqualified from obtaining unemployment benefits. I mean, it's a situation where somebody that's really savvy about how the unemployment system works can get their benefits, but if somebody quits for whatever personal reason a day or two before, they lose all of their benefits.
Okay, is there any further testimony? If not, we'll close the public hearing. Yes.
Uh-huh. I'd like to move the House Bill 2136 to the floor of the Senate.
Senator McCoy moves House Bill 2136 to the floor with the DPAS recommendation. Is there any discussion? If not, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Hannan. Senator Houck.
Aye.
Senator Kitzhaber.
Aye.
Senator McCoy.
Aye.
Senator Wire. Senator Brown.
Aye.
Senator Hendrickson.
Aye. Okay, we're going to open the public hearing on 2988. I only have one person signed up on that, and that is Libby Leonard.
Is she here? She is not here.
Yes, she's here. Do you want to, or someone else from your agency wants to check?
29 what, Madam Chair?
Yes, for information. I don't have any public testimony. 2988.
Thank you.
Are there two Libby Leonards? Will the real Libby Leonard
stand up? Please stand. Okay, she's sending some designation. Okay, do you want to explain what this bill does now after the House amendments?
Madam Chairperson, Donna Hunter from the Employment Division. We've worked very closely with Representative Gold on this bill, and in particular, Paul Cook, who works for me, has been working with Shirley over this entire period of time. So I'd like to turn it over to him and have him explain to you what the bill would accomplish.
Okay.
Paul Cook from the Employment Division. Simply, what the purpose of the bill is to provide temporary public employment to Oregonians who have exhausted or are within 4 weeks of exhausting their unemployment insurance benefits. Beyond that criteria, these individuals also have to meet an annual family income criteria, as well as outlined in the bill. Basically, the guidelines for the program would provide that public agencies would contract with the Employment Division for these eligible individuals and to implement public service projects that the agency has. Some of the characteristics of the hiring of these individuals under this contract, for example, the hiring agency could not displace any current
Senator McCoy has moved that House Bill 2906 become part of an interim study. Is there any committee discussion on that?
Well, I'm sure I like the bill.
Oh, you like the bill? He likes the bill.
I
lose.
Okay. Do you want to withdraw the motion?
I withdraw the motion.
Okay.
I'm just kind of 50-50, but yeah. I think the issue has to be dealt with if we're going to receive the good or the bad out of it. Right away. I've got to get off the dime myself.
Yeah, I haven't really made up my mind myself.
But I think we ought to deal with the issue. Okay. If we're going to
My point was really is that the board could deal with that problem. And that's within their sphere.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what other people will do?
Yeah.
Well, Senate Labor will be adjourned.
Senate Labor adjourned 11.
Yeah, well, I didn't get feedback from people, so I know whether to put it up.
We're doing this. Committee.
I can't believe it. We almost got it all done. 6:50 was really
beautiful job.